This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We've been preaching for several weeks about the miracles of Jesus, and we'll conclude that today. We've greatly enjoyed preaching about these miracles, but our miracle reading is found today in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through verse 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through verse 41. This is what God's word says. It says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Brief word of prayer. Jesus, we love you. God, I pray today that you would bind anything that would distract from this service. Help us, God, to get our total and 100% focus on you. Be with that man, woman, boy, or girl that's here who doesn't know you as personal Savior. May they come to know you. For all you do, we praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about even the winds and the waves obey. Even the winds and the waves obey. I love studying about our forefathers in Christendom. One of my favorites, a man by the name of George Mueller. Let me tell you about George Mueller. George Mueller cared for over 10,000 orphans. He had orphanages and he cared for over 10,000 orphans. But listen, never one time did he request money. He just prayed. And God supplied the need. And I believe this, folks. I believe God's work done God's way will not lack God's support. He just prayed. When George Mueller died, they found his prayer journals. He'd journal his prayer, and he would write down when God answered his prayer. When they found his prayer journals, there was 50,000 answers to prayers that he had prayed. 50,000 answers to prayers that he had prayed. He was on a ship once. He was going to Quebec to preach the gospel. But he was on a ship, and he said they were around Newfoundland. And he said there was a heavy fog, just a real heavy fog. And he knew in 57 years of preaching the gospel, he had never missed a preaching engagement. He had never missed one. But there was this heavy fog, and he goes to the captain, and he says to the captain, he said, "You've slowed the ship down. You need to speed it up. It's Wednesday, and Saturday I'm supposed to preach in Quebec." And he said, "No." The captain said, "Because of this intense fog, I can't speed the ship up. And Mueller said, let's go downstairs to the chart room. And the captain gave this testimony. He said, we went down to the chart room. I saw Mueller get down on his knees. He said he prayed a prayer that would be equivalent to an 8 or 9 year old child. But he asked God to take care of the fog. And he said, after he finished praying, he said to the captain, let's go back out on deck. And that captain said, when I went back out on deck, the fog was gone. He said, the fog was gone. And the captain said, this is what I can tell you. He said two things. He said, number one, he was in Quebec on that Saturday to preach the gospel. And he said, the second thing I can tell you, that day I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I really believe this. You say, Pastor, do you believe that the devil is involved in the weather? I most certainly do. I believe many times when you have tornadoes, when you have hurricanes, when you have devastation and innocent people and lives are devastated, I think literally the originator of that is the devil. I believe, folks, sometimes you'll have a week at Rock Springs Church and it'll be pretty Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday comes and it will rain to beat the band. And I'll just say to the devil, I hate you, devil. I hate you, devil. Because what I know, 12 drops of rainfall can fall and 43 church members will stall. I'll say, I hate you, devil. You say, Pastor, how can you prove this? Well, in Mark 4 and 39, it says he rebuked the wind. If you read, in Mark 4 and 39, but if you read Mark 1, verse 25, it's the same word when he rebuked the devil, when he rebuked the demonic spirit. That is to say, Jesus has all power, and even the winds and the waves obey. Now, Jesus was on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. Every time I take groups to Israel, they say, Pastor, when are we going to Jerusalem and when are we going to Bethlehem? And what they don't understand, Jesus did 90% of his ministry around the Sea of Galilee. He performed more miracles around the Sea of Galilee than any other place. This body of water that's 700 feet below sea level, this body of water that's 7 miles wide, 13 miles long, 200 feet deep at its deepest point. Jesus did more miracles. He did more ministry right here at this place. So every time we go to the Sea of Galilee, it's special. It's sacred to me. And Jesus literally was on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And he wanted to get his disciples to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And I want you to see three simple things. The first thing I want you to see is the crisis. The crisis. Here's what I know. You may not be having a crisis today, but I can promise you this, a crisis is coming. Because it's coming to all of our lives. It's coming to my life, it's coming to your life, it's coming at different levels. I love the story when a little boy said to his dad, he said, Dad, would you punish me for something I didn't do? He said, why no, son? I would never punish you for something you didn't do. He said, well, good, Dad, because I didn't do my homework, amen? Now let's look at the crisis. I want you to see, first of all, folks, I want you to see the stormy sea. the stormy sea. If you look at verse 37, look what it says. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, that it was now full. I want you to see the stormy sea. See, here's what's interesting. When I take groups to Israel, and we go out on the Sea of Galilee, the keeper of the boat will always pull me off before we go out. And he'll say, Pastor, I want to make you aware of something. I want to make you aware that you're going to go out there and you're going to sing and you're going to have worship and you're going to preach. But he'll say this, you know this body of water is totally surrounded by mountains. It just sets down with mountains all around it. And he'll say to me, I want you to be aware. We many times have no indication when a storm's going to blow up. But a storm can blow up real quickly on the Sea of Galilee. So we'll have to get you to the shore. We'll have to get you out of the boat. Because a storm can happen real quick. You know what I know, folks? One word can cause a storm. One word, divorce, can cause a storm. Death can cause a storm. Bankruptcy can cause a storm. Cancer can cause a storm. Homosexual can cause a storm. Adultery can cause a storm. Literally, one word. Everything's good, but one word can change everything. You say, Pastor Benny, why do we have storms? There's four reasons why we have storms. We have storms because of disobedience. If we could talk to Jonah, Jonah'd say, it happened to me. It happened to me on the Mediterranean Sea. I disobeyed God, and I got in a storm. And hear me closely, sir. Hear me closely, ma'am. Somebody said, I'm going to disobey God. You can. But let me tell you something. A storm's coming to your life. You can disobey God. You can rebel. But a storm is coming to your life. There's a second reason why we have storms. It's called discipline. Sometimes we go through storms because God is disciplining us. God is disciplining us. Sometimes parents will say to me, I don't discipline my children. And I'm thinking, you don't have to tell me, I can tell. Hey, I can tell they don't get disciplined. And sometimes with them, when I'm with them, I want to discipline them. You say the children know the parents. Because folks, listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you a bastard, not a son. God disciplines his children. And when we say, I don't discipline my children, you're saying that you're a better parent than God. God has to discipline his children because he loves them. And if we love our children, we'll discipline our children. Now wait. There's storms of discipline. There are storms of disobedience. But there are storms that are demonic. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. There's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. There's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your family. There's an enemy that wants to steal and kill and destroy your influence, your impact, your ministry. But wait, there's a fourth storm. It's a storm of design. Wait, Pastor. You mean God would literally design a storm for me to go through? Well, look what the Bible says in verse 35. It was he who told him to get in the boat. Now, he's omniscient. Do you think he knew there was going to be a storm once they got in the middle of the water? But ladies and gentlemen, he still told them to get in the boat. We love that verse in 1 Chronicles. Remember that Jabez prayer? God, would you just bless my socks off? That's what bless me indeed means. God, would you just enlarge my coast? God, would you keep your hand up on me? God, would you keep me from evil? Oh, God, bless me. Enlarge me. But wait, Psalms 4:1 says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me. Oh, you said, Pastor, I want him to enlarge me. Wait, when I was in distress. When did God enlarge me? When did God expand me? When did God stretch me? When did God mature me? When did God multiply me? When did God impact my life? When did God use me to help others? When did God give me greater reach? When did God give me greater joy? When did God give me greater impact? When did God help me? When did God use me? When did God expand me? When I was in distress. I know this is not happy, clappy preaching, but it's biblical preaching. And the great apostle Paul gets saved. And God says to Ananias, let me tell you what I'm going to do with this man in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He's a chosen vessel unto me. You say, wow, that sounds good, Pastor Benny. I'm a chosen vessel. Oh, yes, you are. But look what he says. He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles. Wait. Not only is he going to bear my name before the... No, this is good, folks. He's going to bear my name before kings. Wow. And the children of Israel. Said, man, wouldn't you like to be Paul? But wait. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What are you saying, Pastor Benny? I'm saying sometimes, folks, you're going to get on a stormy sea. But I want you to see something else. Not only the stormy sea, I got to hurry. I want you to see the sleeping Savior. Sometimes when you're on a stormy sea, folks, it will seem like Jesus is asleep. It will seem like Jesus is asleep. If you look at verse 38, they were on a stormy sea. What was Jesus doing? I mean, literally, he was in a Rip Van Winkle snooze. The only time in the Bible there's record of Jesus sleeping is right here. I mean, literally, they're in a storm and Jesus is sleeping. Well, I don't know about you. There's been times in my life when I felt like, goodness gracious, I'm in a storm. And it feels like Jesus is asleep. I've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing's happened. Has anybody ever been there other than me? Man, I'm in a storm, and apparently Jesus is asleep. See, and when that's going on, get this, folks. I'm wanting him to do a removing job, but he's doing a improving job. Rarely did I ever say anything that original, that good. Listen, I'm wanting him to do a removing job, but he's doing an improving job. He's doing something in me, because he knows I've got to do something in him before I can really do things through him. Kind of reminds me of that CNN reporter that goes to the Western Wall, and he sees this old man there. And he says to that old man, you pray at this Western Wall. He said, yes. He said, do you pray every day at the Western Wall? He said, yes. He said, what do you pray? He said, I pray for there to be peace between the Jews and the Muslims. I pray for there to be peace between the Arabs and the Jews. I pray that the hatred will stop. I pray that all the politicians will start telling the truth. And the reporter said, how do you feel? He said, I feel like I'm talking to a wall. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when we're in a storm, it feels like we're talking to a wall. But I've got good news. I not only read Mark chapter 4, I read Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, and they came over unto the other side. Oh, come on, folks, we can do better than that. And they came over unto the other side. They got through the storm, and you're going to get through the storm, because God's enough God to bring us through the storm. Now, wait. I see the crisis, but I got to hurry. I really don't have to. I don't have another service to go to 4 o'clock. I don't preach again to 4 o'clock. I want you to see the cry. Now, keep in mind, the thunder's pounding. Ta-boom! The lightning's flashing. The boat's got water in it. I bet his pillows got wet. I mean, it's a storm. But you know what's amazing? Through every bit of this, sleeping. Who could sleep? Boy, he was a heavy sleeper. He slept through it all. Of course, the only record of him ever sleeping, I don't guess he ever got any time to sleep. So when he went to sleep, he went into a deep sleep. Didn't need no Ambien, melatonin. I mean, he went to sleep. Nothing woke him. But verse 38 says, he was in the hinder part of the ship. Leaders, you want a lesson? Get in the hinder part of the ship. I hope I'm on the front row where everybody can see me. Can I get in the choir and be sure and be out front where everybody can see me? I hope everybody saw my post. Oh, I hope they saw it. I got 14. Oh, everybody likes my post. Oh, I can't wait. So many people are following me on Instagram. You need therapy. You need help. Oh, I've got to post everything. Our family's having a hot dog cookout. Who cares? What got me on all this? He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. What woke him? Not the lightning, not the thunder. One thing woke him when one of his children said, Master. You say, Pastor Benny, I need God's attention. Honey, all you got to do to get God's attention is call unto me, and I will answer thee. call unto me, and I will answer thee. See, get this. I see the crisis. I see the cry. But I'll give you one mother. I see the calm. I see the calm. If you look what verse 39 says, look what it says. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Musician, come to the instrument. I'm more out to quit if they'll come. Do you see him run? Look here. Look here. If you have a storm in the ocean, you've been down Florida, you've seen it. It takes 8 hours after a storm for the water to calm down. But when Jesus said, peace be still, there was an immediate calm. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I'd rather be in a storm with Jesus than a calm without him. I've learned that safety is not the absence of storms. Safety is the presence of the Savior. I've learned that sometimes God calms the raging storm, but sometimes God lets the storm rage and he calms me. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. Give him praise. There's nobody like Jesus. Now wait. I want you to see three things right fast. Number one, I want you to see the rebuke. The Bible says in verse 39, he rebuked the wind. What does that mean, preacher? It means he muzzled the wind. I want you to see the rebuke, but there's a second thing I want you to see. I want you to see the reproof. It's in verse 40. Look what he said in verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He said, get real. You guys have watched me perform 11 major miracles. You were there when I turned the water into wine. You were there when I healed the paralyzed man. You were there when I raised the dead. You've seen 11 major miracles. Why are you so fearful? Because you have no faith. Somebody said, Pastor, what do you think about what's happening in our nation? Oh, I'll help you. Matthew 24 is an end time chapter. If you look at verse 6 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. It says nation shall rise against nation and kingdom shall rise against kingdom. What's happening? Whew. It's playing out just like God said. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, our world's falling apart. No, it's not. It's not falling apart. It's falling into place. It's falling into place. It's falling into place. Read Ezekiel chapter 37. The prophecy of Israel becoming a nation. Read Ezekiel chapter 38, where the prophecy is, I ran and the nations will turn on Israel. Somebody said, oh, Brother Benny, I'm scared. You don't have to be. Somebody said, are you watching the news, folks? I've got something more current than CNN, Fox, or MSNBC. I've got the Word of God. It tells me just what's going to happen. Oh, Pastor, please talk to me. I don't know what this world's coming to. Come up real close. I'll tell you what it's coming to. It's coming to Jesus, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I'll tell you, it's coming to Jesus. Young people, you don't have to be fearful. God has got this. God is in control. God has got this. I love what Corey Ten Boom said. She said, we never have to be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We don't have to be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I'm done, but let me give you the last point. What was their reaction? Well, it's in verse 41. Look what he says. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Let me tell you something. Carl Boberg, he went to church one Sunday night. He said, as I was walking home from church, the thunder started clapping. He said, as I was walking home from church, the lightning started flashing. He said, I watched the lightning. I listened to the thunder. I heard the rain, and I got in a shelter where I could just be protected. And I'd look up at the stars, and I'd see the lightning. I'd look up and I'd hear the thunder. And I just said, God, I went to church. Keep me safe. And he said, after a little while, that storm subsided. And he said, I heard the birds start singing. I heard those birds start singing. And he said, I went home, got a piece of paper, and I wrote this song.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.